And now it's time for the Art Journal Show. And in the studio I have Shlomit, who is a wood sculptor, and Helen Cornell, who is a ceramic artist. Good morning.
Hi. Morning.
So this coming, not this coming weekend, the weekend after this, on the 9th and the 10th of November, is Open Studios, the third installment, I guess you could call it, of Open Studios. This is the Warburton Highway, and you both have a studio in this weekend. There are 12 studios for people to go and visit. Tell us, what is Open Studios?
Well, it's an opportunity for people to visit different artists in their place of work and where they're creating, and see how they go about their process, what they're making, what they're producing, and that environment, and give you a little bit of insight of their process and how they go about it. Yeah.
Shlomit, you have a wood sculpting studio down in Warburton.
Yep.
That you work. I've come down to visit you a couple of times. I love your work. You use a chainsaw.
I use several chainsaws and a lot of other tools as well.
Yes. So you, how long have you been at your studio?
3 years.
3 years.
Just nearly finished 3 years, yeah.
What would people come and see when they came to your studio?
Well, sawdust. But I have, first I'm going to put on display all my tools. I think this is something that people are really interested in seeing. And I will do some demonstration and show how some of these tools can be used. And also some sculptures I've been making. They're going to be like a variety of sculptures in different sizes that people can have a look at and maybe purchase if they like. And what else? And talk. And there are a few posters that show processes. And I'm happy to discuss anything that people want to ask me.
It's actually very exciting when you come to your studio when you have the chainsaw going. Like you said, you have a number of different size chainsaws.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. I mean, I'll ask you more questions as this interview goes on, but chainsaws are scary to me. How did you overcome your fear? I mean, were you ever scared of a chainsaw?
I always scared, and I always been scared of chainsaws. For me, it's just a tool that allows me to cut a big chunk of wood into smaller bits. It's not the chainsaw as, and maybe because I never grew up on the chainsaw, I never had chainsaws around me. But I am scared, and I always am, and I'm trying to be very focused when I'm working with them. But you know, when you're holding the chainsaw, you actually, it's away from you, so it's kind of, it's not that scary when you're actually into it.
I think it's just the story I would tell myself around it. I mean, there's not many female chainsaw wood sculptors around, is there?
There are few.
Oh, there are.
There is a famous one in Victoria called Angie, which is a bit under the weather at the moment, but she's been doing it for like 20 or 30 years, and she's awesome. And I am following some Facebook pages of chainsaw sculptors from all over the world. Apparently in America, it's way more popular, and there are quite a few women there as well.
Mm.
So
I heard about a chainsaw sculpting award, and you know, many years ago I heard there was a guy in the Yarra Valley,
yeah,
who came first. Is,
yeah,
that right?
He's still one of the world's most celebrated chainsaw artists, Rob Bast. He's from Wundin.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there used to be a competition in Sky High in Olinda, but last year they cancelled it, and not sure what's going to happen with that.
Mm-hmm.
But to do this competition, it's crazy. You have to have stamina of a salmon fish going up the stream. It's like 4 days of like 10 hours a day, and it's crazy. I don't think I'm up to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Are some woods harder than others to carve?
Yeah. Yes, they are, but definitely.
Yeah.
Oh. There is soft wood and hard wood and all in between.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fascinating. And you, Helen, you do ceramics.
Yeah.
And I've got some pieces in front of me that are just gorgeous. Some of your samples, you're saying, some of when you were exploring making rock pools or...
Yeah, I'm a queen of test pieces.
Ah, well, they're just gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, those ones were... a lot of my work is involved with using texture and repeated patterns and textures that are taken from nature. So the green one that you've got down there is the other one. That's clay that I've actually taken to the beach and pressed into the rocks down near Apollo Bay. Yeah, that one. Yeah. And so I've taken imprints from the rock formations, and then I make clay stamps from that, and then press them into more clay to make that as a repeated pattern. Then they've gone into what I call like an alternative firing. So they're fired in traditionally in the kiln, so they're fired up to 1,000 degrees, and then I smoke fire them. So I'm calling it bush smoked firing. So before I moved to the Yarra Valley, I was living in the city, so I had a lot of time to love going camping, and so I'd take all my pottery with me to the bush, and then I've got an old ammunition tin, and I used to fill it with gum leaves and bracken and whatever was around in that area, and set light to it or drag it onto a bonfire, and then the smoke penetrates through the clay to give you all that blackened effect.
Okay, well, I can't see any black...
Oh, that's the black lines that are through it as well, and that's the smoke effect from the back of it. So that would normally be white,
okay.
But after it's the smoke has got to it, then it sort of, it turns, depending on what clay you're using, turns the clay almost silvery.
They're so gorgeous, you really have to come and see these things in person. And your work too is just fantastic. I mean, we didn't really say what you make. I mean, you make women... owls. Yeah. I love your owls and your
Thank
women
you.
And out of wood.
Yeah, I like I love wildlife, I love animals, I love also women empowerment, so I do fertility goddesses and all sorts of women and just whatever I feel like, really. I'm a bit I even made a house the other day.
I just saw that when I went into the studio,
a haunted
actually.
Mansion.
Yeah, that looks great.
Just whatever I'm inspired to do in the day, I'm very happy to do. So.
And you're both full-time artists?
Yeah.
I do a bit of, several different things, but it's mainly either teaching or making and some accommodation and stuff, so yeah.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Art Journal Show. My name is Cora Zahn, and in the studio, my very special guests are Helen Cornell and Shlomit. And Helen is a ceramic artist and Shlomit is a wood sculptor. While the song was playing, we were discussing about creativity and how important it is to engage with or observe or to create because it helps you to shift your mindset or to uplift your emotions. And I think it's quite common to all people who participate in the arts, wouldn't you say? And how do you what's your motivation and drive for being creative?
I think I've always been inclined to engage in creative pursuits, you know, ever since I was a child, really. I found it always relaxing. And I believe that everybody is creative. I don't think that, sometimes I teach and I have to, and often people say, oh, I don't have a creative bone in my body, which I really don't agree with. I think it's just giving people the opportunity and to play with materials and processes so that something comes out of that.
So are you able during your workshops to help people get away from the idea that they don't have that creative bone in their body?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And often I think people have scars left from, perhaps they had an art teacher that wasn't very encouraging or told them when they were young that what they made wasn't any good, and that can kind of carry on into adulthood. So I think creativity is like a muscle. You're exercising it, and it's something that you do every day, whether you're a gardener or painting or, you know, sculpting a wombat even. You know, it's just something that is going on all the time. You know, you might walk your dog on the beach and pick up a pebble travel, and just considering those things that are in nature and that are around us that are all creative objects, you know, they sort of fascinate me, and I'm always sort of interested by things like that, yeah.
It's a bit like, you know, I suppose creating, like, so being inspired by something in nature, for example, and then wanting to make something from it. How do you know, how does that happen for you, Shlomit?
For me, it's really about the emotions it evokes in me. I think that since I became a full-time sculptor, I've been so much happier. And just the normal feeling of content that I'm happy in my life, and I get to my studio and I'm singing and dancing and just enjoying being there and thinking what I can make today. And it's not really about what I'm making. It's about the actual, the meditation that you create while you are focusing on creating something. It's a bit like meditation. You just focus so much into it that you forget about everything else. And I find it just really so good to my soul.
Oh, it sounds like it could be quite addictive. Mm. Now, one of the things, and I can understand where you're coming from, but I do also know that some people have that inner critic and they don't find it meditative, they find it stressful. How do you reckon people could make a shift from feeling, oh, I can't do this, I haven't got a creative bone in my body, I don't know how to do that, and, you know, I didn't even want to try. I mean, was there ever a time when you felt that way, you made a shift, or were you always...
Every single day. I think you're always critical about what you're making, and I certainly am, about what I'm making and what I'm doing, because that's what drives you to push it on. And sometimes, you know, you might have days where you go out and, you know, things don't flow right or they don't quite work. And then other times you'll be working, and I don't know about you, I know this sounds a bit conceited, but I'll go, oh my God, I'm a genius. Because I'll have done something, or you'll just move the piece of clay in a certain way and something falls into place, and it just, yeah, sings in some way.
It sings in some way. So you kind of, you see something and it evokes an emotional response in you.
Yeah, and I think, like Shlomit was saying about it being a meditative process as well, I certainly agree with that, that you might go in the studio and, you know, I'll pop out to just unload the kiln or something, and then before I know it, 6 hours has passed, and I'm wondering why I'm hungry. because you sort of can get carried away in what you're doing, and ideas are coming at you from all angles, and you know, there's nothing better than going to bed and dreaming about glazes, I reckon. You know, it's sort of it becomes part of your life, you know, doing that.
Yeah, I think that just not get too attached about what's coming out, and more enjoying the play is really the key. And definitely to be a wood sculptor is not for perfectionists, because there are always surprises, and there are always surprises. You can blame the wood, there are bits that rot, or there's a bit of falling off and it's nothing to do with you, or you can just blame yourself from cutting off too much or accidentally. And so it's really, it's not for perfectionists. It's just about, just let it be and try to, and if something good comes out, it really is a great feeling. But if something is not good come out, I don't think I'm that attached to it as much that I'm feeling disappointed, or for me it's okay, then more firewood, or, you know.
Yeah, I think that if you do become too attached to it, then you're paralyzed in that creative process. You know, you've got to kind of make, and sometimes things blow up, sometimes things crack, and from every mistake you make, you learn from.
Yeah, that's it.
But, you know, you're working with organic materials like that, and they've got a kind of mind of their own.
Yeah.
You know, that you're going to be doing that with pieces of wood, and you suddenly, like, I was in your workshop this morning, and Shlomit's working on this beautiful chicken, and she's filled part of the cracks, and it's just, that's all part of the process as well. It's life, isn't it?
It's all
an object.
Yeah, and also see it as a, since I'm only doing it for 3 years, it's, for me, I'm still in such a big learning curve, and there is so much to learn. So even if I screw up, it doesn't really matter, because I learned something. So every time, every day for me is just an opportunity to practice,
and
to try to get better.
I think that's a really great way to approach it, because then sometimes something good will happen sometimes. Oh, so when you said, if it doesn't work, what would you consider not working? Like you've made something that, oh, it doesn't work. What are some of the...
The proportions will be totally off, or the actual sculpture, I wouldn't like it, or it will fall and break. Like sometimes I made once, I don't even remember what it was, but it had a very thin bits of it, and it just fell and broke. And it's a bit frustrating, but it's also...
A learning experience.
Maybe I'll not do them so thin next
time.
Yes,
exactly.
Or try to strengthen it somehow. So it's really all about learning and trying.
Mm. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Art Journal Show, and in the studio I have Helen Cornell and Shlomit. How do you say your surname?
Moria.
Thank you. Shlomit, you've only been doing wood sculpting for about 3 years now, and I'd like to know about how did you get into it? I mean, it is not a common thing for women to wield a chainsaw and sculpt wood into beautiful pieces, like feminine forms and animals and birds. So tell us a little bit how you got into it.
So I was always interested in 3D art, in sculpture, but when you grow up, they always tell you shouldn't be an artist. So I became a graphic designer. And when I moved to Australia, which was in 2003, I saw all this wood everywhere, which I'd never seen before. In Israel, I came from Israel, and in Israel, it's not very common to see wood lying around.
So when you mean lying around, what do you mean? Where was it lying around?
Here, everywhere. If you go to the valley, it's like people, they drop trees, they're out of on the yard, there's always these bits of wood lying everywhere.
So when you came from Israel, came to the Yarra Valley?
Well, first I've been in Melbourne for 4 years. And as I got to Melbourne, even it's so many trees and so many nature, so much nature and beauty. And I really fell in love in the wood. So I tried to just learn whatever I could. And first I found a course in the Fine Woodworking Club of Melbourne in Box Hill. So I learned how to do some boxes and stuff. And then when I moved to the Yarra Valley, and I had two kids, and in between I went to do a wood turning course in Mont de Lancy, and everybody there were very supportive and very nice. And I was just trying to learn whatever I could. And then I found in Warburton, there is the U3A, the University of the Third Age, they had a carving class for wood. And Fritz is the guy who teaches it, who's an amazing person.
Is that the same guy who's up at Mont de Lancy?
Fritz?
No.
Is there sometimes in the metal, actually.
In the metal area, yes, yes.
But he also does wood carving for the U3A University. And I asked him if I can come, and he's like, no problem, I will never discriminate against age or sex or anything. So I joined his classes, and it was more chisels and hand tools, and I was always trying to drill him about power tools, because I always thought, this takes so long, we need to do something. I need a bigger tool. because I had such a small experience in all these wood things, then I just learned wherever I could. And eventually when I decided, I was a graphic designer and for a long time, and I became more and more depressed, and I just didn't, sitting all day in front of the computer just didn't do it for me. So I decided I need to just do something about it. And there was a guy in Warburton, Willow, is a furniture maker. He's also a wood sculptor, and he's a really nice guy.
He has made lots of different furniture, yeah.
Yeah, he's very approachable, luckily. And I didn't really know him, but I came and I was asking him if he could, if you don't mind, to teach me something, because I want to learn about the tools, and in exchange I will do some work for him. So we've done it for a while. I did like a couple of days a week. I would go there and he would give me all sorts of jobs to do, and he was teaching me about all the different tools and safety and how to change blades, and it was fantastic. Totally.
How to change chainsaw blades?
No, he didn't know blades. About chainsaws.
Oh, not
I
yet?
Had to learn
okay.
it by myself.
Oh, really?
YouTube. Well, I haven't.
No, YouTube.
A husband of a friend of mine showed me the safety bits. He showed me how to, you know, start it and how to do and what not to do. And then I just had to start practicing.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you used YouTube to learn how to use
YouTube
a chainsaw.
YouTube is amazing.
There's well, I've heard so many times, even at Bunnings, I've heard people say, just have a look at YouTube, somebody will show you how to use this tool.
But it's amazing, yeah.
Wow.
Because there was nowhere I could, I was trying to find people that can teach me, but I couldn't find anybody. So I just, yeah, looked
at I'm just YouTube. Picturing you with your like your YouTube there, your chainsaw in hand. How do I do this?
Well, you just have to be very careful.
Yeah. And wear a chainmail suit.
Yeah, have some gear to protect you. That's very important.
That's so brave.
I always thought, and that was something that followed me since I was very young, that fear shouldn't stop me to do anything. And also in this case, and also in other adventures I had in life, I never let fear stop me from trying or to pursue something that I really wanted to do. So fear is fine. I can still be scared, but this is not what's going to make me not do it.
That's so good. So fear can be your companion, but not the driver.
Yeah, don't let it make your choices, because then I would probably be stale in Israel in a shitty... Well, I was working in a newspaper there as a graphic designer and never there to, yeah.
Mm. Mm. And now you spend your days in a meditative state.
Inhaling dust.
Yeah. Creating beautiful sculptures of animals and women, mainly, yeah. Isn't it?
Well, it is random. I do try more as I getting more confident and more practiced. I try more and more things to, so
yeah, be interesting. So so is it like, do you see the wood and then is it kind of like the, you know, the Michelangelo, like I carve the marble to reveal,
yeah,
you know, the man within? Is it
sometimes
or so is it like, do you have an idea and then you search for your wood suit?
Well, it's both. It works in both. Sometimes the wood just really tells you that this is it and you have to do it, and sometimes you just look at it as just a block of material that you just need to cut off the excess to do what you want to do.
So sometimes do you do drawings or do you just get stuck, yeah, straight into it?
Well, as I'm getting better, I learned that if I make sketches first and do drawings, it actually really helps.
Okay.
For the big picture, for the proportions, and looking at pictures of real animals, checking their proportions and having some reference really helps as well. So it's something that when I started I was just going for it, and now I'm a bit more, I'm trying to get a picture of the animal in both sides and from above and whatever I can find. It makes a huge difference.
So when you do your sketch, do you do it to the size of the piece of wood or is it just small?
No, I just do it small, but I also divide it into, like, you know, half quarter and
like you so graph, like use a graph type of graph it up.
Yeah, so I can this is the block of wood, so in this half I'll have these bits, and then if you cut this to half I can curve in this area, so it makes it like a sketch that is a bit more like
a plan maybe.
Yeah, just a bit of
Does it change when you're making things sometimes? Like you might start off by thinking you're going to make one of your giant mushrooms, for example, and then as you begin to carve away, there's a knot in the wood or something like that that will lend itself as being an eye or a nose, and then
definitely
the object turns into,
yeah,
another.
Yeah, I do love to let the wood also dictate sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I try to, you know, the knot to fit exactly in the eye socket or to make some more.
And I suppose you don't know that until you've chopped away and got to,
yeah,
the middle of it.
Yeah, exactly, because you can't see anything when...
So sometimes you might start with a plan and the plan will just go out the window.
Totally, yeah. But it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Which, you know, it's that's another part about creativity. A big part of it is problem solving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot about it. And also allowing it to change and not be too hang on what you wanted to do first. And I also find that a lot of the time where I'm thinking that I really messed up, the best things come out in the end. So you just need to persevere and not just keep going and see what you can do and how you can fix it. And it's usually something that I did not plan, but it's way better than I thought it could be.
And I guess just to keep that at the back of your mind, that this is, it's okay. It's always okay. It's always good.
Yeah.
There's always, it's all part of the journey.
That's right. And I'm learning. And I'm learning and I'm practicing and it's...
And like you said, really, probably the key is like, is to play. To play, yeah. play.
Yeah.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Helen, let's talk a little bit about your journey in ceramics. I did visit your studio, I think it was in 2017.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had lots of beautiful mushrooms and, you, like you said, you did a bit of fairy houses.
Yeah, fairy real estate. That's what I was calling it.
But yeah. Now you're saying you've gone back to what you were doing years ago. Yeah. Tell us a bit about what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I kind of... I was making these kind of mandala forms, so that like the stamps I've brought in to show you there. So the textures and transferring patterns to make these round forms. So I kind of start with a unit, usually something that's, you know, rounded, like an inverted wok kind of shape, and then applying textures and patterns onto that. And so I was making these sculptural pieces. This was 20 years ago when I was still in the UK. And then pursued it here, but I didn't think people really got what I was making. They kind of go, what's that for then? Stick it on the wall. So it sort of changed, and because nature has always been sort of an inspiration point, I started making these kind of mushrooms and this idea of fantasy fairy houses, and it's a bit like me disappearing into my own little miniature world. So I was looking at textures and patterns, and so these humped forms I've been making for a long time started to become the tops of the mushrooms I was making. So it was more recognisable and a bit more accessible for people to go, ah, it's a mushroom, I get it now. So I was doing that for a while, and I used to do quite a few markets and things, and so yeah, I was sort of selling my work that way. Now I moved up to the Yarra Valley 3 years ago, and set up my studio and my lovely play shed in the back garden, and so I've kind of gone back to doing that more sculptural work now. So the alternative firings that I kind of mentioned earlier play a big part of that, and yeah, so that's where I'm at with it now. And as Shlomit was saying earlier about things going right and things going wrong in what you're making. This happens all the time, you know, like if you were put off doing ceramics because you spend ages making a pot and it cracks, you've got to get over that pretty quick because there's a lot of things that break. So it's an exercise in letting go and not being too attached to these things, really. So,
well, a lot of the part of being creative is sure, you come up with something that's beautiful, but isn't it the process that you actually, that's actually the really for the artist, the main reason, the engagement in the process, the pleasure you, or the pain that you experience?
Yeah. And I think that with this work and like as Shlomit was saying about it being that meditative process, more recently I've looked at that philosophy that of Kintsugi, which is the Japanese art of mending things. So traditionally they might have had a beautiful pot that's been broken, and it's repaired with resin and gold. Now I'm not actually using gold, but so you're highlighting the cracks and the defects. So there's metaphors for us as human beings.
What does it mean for you? Like, I mean, you're attracted to it, but, you know, tell us a bit more detail. What?
Finding beauty in the broken, you know, and just because I've made something that has, you know, split or cracked, or like you say, you've dropped it or it's fallen off the shelf, it still has value. And it doesn't mean that, you know, it's at like a dollar value on it, but the value of it and what you've learned from it and the time that you've put into it and the passion that you put into it, and not to throw those things away, but to lovingly repair them and still enjoy them. And so with lots of pieces I've been doing more recently, I'm really trying to push that material and doing things with it, which, you know, sometimes creates a thermal shock within the work. So you may have something that's come out of the first firing and it's all in one piece, and then you put it through other firings and it begins to damage over the shock that it goes through, and then joining those pieces back together.
I think that's great, because it's a way of honouring all of the work you've put into it, instead of just going, ah, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Toss. Mm. But to say, okay, I've loved this and I'll continue to love it.
Mm. And you can learn from, you know, there'll be areas of each piece of work that you know, you're just like, oh, that's turned out well, that bit around the side of that bowl, or, you know, the handle on something, so you've got a nice curve on it or something like that. And so all those elements inform the next piece of work that you make. So it all kind of, they all grow out of the previous piece. So although I was making these sculptural pieces more years ago and then moved into these mushrooms and things that I was making, and I've kind of gone back to that before, it's all part of the same beast, but it's just exploring different areas of it.
I love the way you've used, I've got a few pieces in front of me that you've brought into the studio, and I like the glass. Is it a glass?
Yeah, that's a melted glass that's in there, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, as these pieces are like, you know, evocative of rock pools.
Yeah.
So have you done like a rock pool collection?
Yes, I did. I did have a whole series of work I did on rock pools, and those small objects with different that metallic kind of glazes that are on there, and the cracks that's formed through it. So that's been through a smoke firing as well, and the smoke then creates black lines through the work. So it's all these tiny little details that I like to play with the scale and size. So like in a rock pool, if you take a photograph of a rock pool, you know, zooming out and zooming in, the details of that and playing with scale really interests me.
Mm. And like, so, like, in terms of, like, well, you know, there's a lot of texture in this as well. And so some of the glass, I mean, you know, is melted in some areas, but then there's areas that are bare. And but it is a little bit like a tide may have, you know, maybe coming in or out.
Yeah. And it's like when you look at shiny pebbles, you know, you might collect pebbles on a beach and you go, wow, that's beautiful. And it's like when you take them away from their habitat and you take them away from the sea and they dry out, they sort of lose their luster a little bit. So I've tried to kind of create that in those small pieces of sculpture there, where you've got dry areas of just the clay and then more liquidy looking shininess from the glass and glazes.
They're like we're talking about, you know, the process itself is meditative.
Mm.
But holding on to a piece like this, so one of your works, Schlimmert, is also something that the viewer or the person who collects art can enjoy, you know, what you've put into it, and it will arise in them a similar enjoyment.
And they smell as well when you first get them out of the fire. I love that smell of smoke. You know, you can't smell that one so much now, but the smell of smoke that you know, like, I love that smell. If you're sitting around a bonfire and your clothes smell all smoky the next day, I think it's great, you know. I quite like it.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Helen, tell us about the exhibition that's at the Water Wheel that's opening this Saturday.
Yeah, well, all the Warburton artists, and along this is the last of the three different areas. We've got a group exhibition happening at the Water Wheel, and so that opens this Saturday from 1 till 3. So everybody's invited to come down and enjoy a glass of wine and meet some of the artists and have a look at the work. There's painters, photographers, there's another ceramicist, Gina, and metalwork artists, and so yeah, it's a real range, and hopefully other people might be inspired to perhaps join in open studios themselves in the future.
And so at the exhibition, you can pick up a map so that you can go and visit the 12 studios.
Yep, make plan your day.
Plan your day. So go along to the exhibition. The exhibition is open for the duration of...
Yeah, that's correct.
Until November 20.
Until November 20. So that's past the open studio date. Yeah. Where the open studios is on the 9th and the 10th of November, where 12 studios are open from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m.
Yeah, on the Saturday and Sunday.
There's lots of inspiring things to see within artists' studios. Not only the artwork, you can speak to the artists and ask questions and be inspired. And it's a really fun day.
And there'll be in different studios, there's hands-on experiences, so people can kind of
have a go,
get involved, and have a go. Yeah,
learn a bit about different techniques and materials.
Yes.
And it's been such a pleasure to have the two of you on Art Journal today. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Cora.
Thank you.